many is excited about the word of the Lord? Are you excited? There you go. How many know we got to be just as excited about the word as we are about worship? Because those who worship the Lord must worship him in spirit. That's what we're just doing, engaging our spirit in worship. And then it says in truth. Jesus declared that the word of the Lord, this was the truth. He says this is the truth of life. And so we worship him in spirit and in truth to make sure we are balanced in our life. If you're all about worship and no truth, then you're unbalanced. If you're all about truth and no worship, you're unbalanced. You gotta have both equally there to make sure you're staying balanced in your life. So now it's time to worship him in truth through the word of the Lord. Now, we started a series last week called 3-in-1. It's a series that is really going to be such a foundational part. I challenged you last week. I remind you again. I want you taking notes. We're going to go to school here, okay? I'm going to take you to a Bible college atmosphere here as we really dig into the word of the Lord. We're going to discover who Jesus is, who the Father is, and who the Holy Spirit is. Some of you here, maybe you've asked questions about, I know about the Trinity, I've heard about the Trinity, but is Jesus really God? Are God and Jesus the same person? Is Jesus really God's Son? And is the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God? Or are they three separate people? And what we are saying here, according to Scripture, what we see is that all three are separate in identity, but work in harmony with each other. All three are God? Yes, they are. But all three have individual roles in our life and stand alone also and have their own roles that the Father has destined, that the Father would play a certain role, that Jesus the Son would play a certain role, and the Holy Spirit has a certain role in our life. And all three stand alone, are powerful by themselves, but when we combine them together, then we're walking in the fullness of our relationship with God. Some of you feel like, man, I've been walking kind of half empty. I don't know exactly what's off balance in my life, but I just know there's more, Pastor. I just know there's something more. And could it be that maybe your understanding of the Trinity will help you walk in balance? Just saying, oh, yes, I need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I need to have a relationship with the Son. And I need to have a relationship with the Father. All three in one, but yet all three separate and distinctive roles. So we're talking about the Son. Last week we opened it up with talking about Jesus, the carpenter. And the reason why Jesus the carpenter is so important, we realize that Jesus spent 18 years as a carpenter and 3 years in public ministry. Even though most of our teachings in church have to do with Jesus the last 3 years of his life, his public ministry years, which for good reasons, obviously, we spend most of our time talking about that, we oftentimes forget and neglect there's a reason why he worked 18 years as a carpenter. From the time 12 to the time he was 30, he worked as a carpenter with his son, with his father. And so what that means is simply this. He understands what it is to work hard. He understands what it is to be outbid on the job. He understands what it is to have people cheat you out of a check. He understands what it is to have people not like your work. He understands what it is to have to work for your father. He understands what it is to have a crazy, messed up family, as we talked about last week. Jesus' family had to come to get him. Remember, he was 30 years old. His helicopter mom showed up. Go get my son. Bring him out here. He's like, that ain't my family. You're my family. My family's out there. They're crazy. That's what he said to him. He's crazy. They came to get him. They were coming to get him because they thought he was out of his mind. That's what Scripture said. He thought he was out of his mind. They were coming to pull him out of the crowd. He was teaching. They're like, Jesus is teaching. He's the Messiah. Oh, my God. My brother's lost it. So they're trying to pull him out. And there's big conflicts going on. So what I mean is this. If you understand this, that Jesus really understands what it means to have crazy family dynamics. So when you have crazy family dynamics going on in your heart, in your home, why not just go to him and talk to him about it? Well, Jesus, you wouldn't understand. Yeah, he does. He understands. Jesus, you won't understand my tough day at work. Yes, he does. He understands. Jesus, you wouldn't understand when I'm stressed out about my business. Yes, he would. He understands. So why not go to him? Why not talk to him? Why not share with him and allow that bond? There's a reason why he had to walk 18 years and 30 years on the earth before he ever did public ministry. That was so that we could approach the throne of grace boldly. And when I go before the throne of grace, Jesus says, hey, dad, I've been tempted every way they have. And so when they come to you, God, dad, they're having a tough time at work. I understand. Dad, their body's in pain. I understand. Dad, their family's having a hard time. Dad, I understand. Dad, they're being rejected in relationships. Dad, I understand. We can go knowing that Jesus is there, interceding for us, identifying with us. Now today, I'm going to take you to the second part about Jesus I want you to get. We're going to talk about Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the shepherd. Everybody say, Jesus the shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. The Bible talks about the body of Christ. That's us. He really talks about us in three entities. And the family of God is the first one. We see a lot when we're mentioned that we're the bride of Christ. We're brothers and sisters and heirs, the children of God. And so he really relates to us as the body, a family. And then we also see, you know, the body is about a family. The church is about a family of God. The church is not a bunch of rules and regulations. If you belong to a church that's all about rules and regulations, then you're in the wrong church. I'm just telling you. Because the Bible is not about a bunch of rules and regulations. It's about a relationship with the Father and a relationship with the family of God. And then he talks about us being a fellowship. How good it is for us to come together. To come together in unity. Don't forsake coming together. Don't forsake meeting together. Don't forsake. We need fellowship. And so he reminds us of us coming together, breaking bread together. He refers to us as family, as a fellowship. But the most thing we see in Scripture, that we as the church, as Christians, the most reference we see really teaching us who we are in our relationship with the Father is that really we are the flock. This is what we see, that Jesus and the Father and Scripture continues to drive home to you and I, that you and I are the flock. We're the flock. And so let's dive into this thought today. Jesus, the shepherd. I want you to get this today that we are the shepherd. And so turn to your neighbor and say, we are sheep. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, we are bad. Come on now, you know I couldn't pass that up. We're sheep, okay? Some of you black sheep, some of you white sheep, some of you brown sheep, some of you good, some of you bad. It's all right, we're all sheep, okay? And we're all sheep, and we're coming in today, and it doesn't make a difference. We're all the family of God. We're the fellowship. We're the flock, and he is the great shepherd. And keeping in line with that, let's look what Scripture backs this up. Psalms 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of whose pasture? His pasture. We are the sheep of his pasture. Who? God's pasture. We're the sheep of his pasture. John 10:10 backs it up again in verses 10 through 11. And we'll skip to verse 14. Jesus was talking. He says, the thief or the wolves or Satan, they come only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. And he describes himself. This is what Jesus said. I am what? The good shepherd. Jesus said this about himself, okay? This is not someone saying Jesus is a good shepherd. Jesus described himself as the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Did Jesus lay down his life for you and I? Yes, he did, didn't he? He modeled this. He says, I'm the good shepherd. A good shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep. And Jesus modeled that. Not only did he prophesy and say he was, but he fulfilled it by being the lamb who gave up himself. And he says, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life on the cross for the sheep. In verse 14, he says it again. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. See, a good shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. They know his voice. It's very, very clear. Now, we're going to spend most of our time, the rest of this sermon, in Psalms 23. I'm going to read it to you, then we'll break it down together and really dive into the meat of this today. Okay, let's read the 23rd Psalms. You've heard this read many times, maybe at a funeral, memorial service. It's a time of comfort and peace, and it does. It brings us a lot of comfort and peace to hear these words. But today, keeping in mind that he is the good shepherd and we are the sheep, I want you now to open your eyes and let the revelation to sink into your heart. The Lord is my shepherd. Everybody say, my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me give you three things about our shepherd, looking at this passage in Psalms 23. Three things about our Lord as our shepherd. Number one, our shepherd provides. Our shepherd provides. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let me say it to you this way. If you're relying on yourself, if you're relying on what's in your bank account, you're relying on the wrong thing. See, as the Lord being your good shepherd, I shall not want. What simply means this, because when I rely, when my faith is built up on what's in my bank account, one year I'm doing really good, and the next year I'm struggling, just like you. Economy's up, economy's down. Sometimes I have a little more than others, sometimes I don't. And when I don't, boy, I can get fearful. I can get really anxious. I can live in fear because I see that I am the provider. I've got to provide, and so I get gripped with fear. But when you realize the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want, I shall not lack, then it puts all the pressure back on him, and my job is just to stay near the shepherd. My job is to draw close to the good shepherd because he's in control. It doesn't mean I won't face layoff. It doesn't mean I won't have trials. It doesn't mean the bill collectors won't call my house. But what it simply means is I will not have lack. I will not want. God will give me the things I need. Let's follow it again. God will give me the things I need, not necessarily the things that I want. Now, sometimes he does give us our heart's desires. But first and foremost, he's about giving us what we want. He's about not giving us what we want, but giving us what we need. I don't want to want for anything because God is taking care of me. I see him as my resource. If you believe you are the provider, you'll live in fear. But look at this next statement. The good shepherd doesn't always provide. The good shepherd doesn't always provide what the sheep want, but he always provides what the sheep need. Let's say it again. That's really good. The good shepherd doesn't always provide what the sheep want, but he always provides what the sheep need. Look at this next statement. He always leads the sheep where they... He doesn't always lead us where we want to go, but he leads us where we need to go. He doesn't always lead us the sheep where they want to go. He leads them where they need to go. This is important because how many of you have kids in here? How many know if you let your kids pick their diet, that they'll eat the three basic food groups? Sugar, sugar, and sugar, right? I mean... And then when they mature, they'll eat sugar, pizza, and sugar. That's really maturity for them. That's it. And so we know as parents, we can't allow our kids to get what they want, or they'll grow up not with the right nutrition, right? And so we can't always give them what they want. We got to give them what they need. How many kids get up and every day when school's going on, I can't wait to go to school. Hallelujah. Woo, yeah, I'm excited. No, like, I want to stay home. But, all right, you want to stay home. You just go ahead. Yeah, I know you're in third grade. Drop out. It's fine. Go right ahead. It's good for you, son. You're going to grow up. Yeah, you want to drop out in third grade? Go ahead. No, you're going to go to school no matter what. Not because you want to, but because you need to. See, I know that my kids have got to be well-rounded in academics, in mentality, in emotional, in spiritual. Physical. And so my job as a parent is not to give them what they want, but it's to help give them what they need. See, the good shepherd's job for us is not to give us what we want, but to give us what we need. And sometimes we need correction. Sometimes he needs to take us down a different path. Remember the children of Israel when they were wandering in the desert for 40 years to go on a short distance trip? But he said that God had to take them around in circles in the desert because they were not ready yet for the promised land. And so he had to take them a long way around, not because they wanted that, but because they needed that to work some things out in them. You see, God doesn't give us what we want. He gives us what we need. He's developing us. This is what the good shepherd. He provides what we need. And we learn this. See, many people in Jesus' day, they missed out on this. Remember the Jewish nation? They didn't accept Jesus. Many didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah. Why? Because they were wanting, what they were wanting was a political king to come down to overthrow the government and reestablish the Jewish nation in the way they wanted. And so many of them rejected Jesus as the Messiah, because how could a little baby born with a peasant and a carpenter's son over here be born in a manger on a hillside, be the one coming to deliver us politically? That was not the way they saw it. And so they rejected Jesus because he was not the political king they wanted. But God said, you don't need a political king. You need a spiritual king. That's what we needed. That's what they needed. That's what we needed. And so he sent Jesus as a political, not a political, but a spiritual king to reestablish a spiritual kingdom. But because they couldn't see that, they missed out on it. See, don't miss out on what the Good Shepherd has for you. Don't miss out. God's going to give us what we need, not necessarily what we want. We're talking about what God gives to us, what he provides for us. How does he provide for us? He provides, the Good Shepherd provides contentment. He does it. Look what verse 2 says. The Good Shepherd provides contentment. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. See, green pastures is where they take the sheep to feed. You see, what happens is this. When you hang out with the Good Shepherd, he's feeding your spirit. He takes you to the green pastures. He's feeding your spirit. He's speaking to you. He's feeding you spiritually. He's getting you spiritually full. I'm spiritually now church. I feel like I'm not eating spiritually. I'm feeling weak spiritually. Hang out with the Good Shepherd. Let him feed your spirit. Let him feed your soul. Let him feed you. And what happens? And he leads me beside the still waters. We had the awesome opportunity to go on vacation a few weeks ago and got to stay right on the beach. And man, at night, we'd go out there on our balcony and you could just see the ocean and hear the ocean gentle. I mean, just breeze, the waves. And it was so tranquilic. You know, it was so, so peaceful. We could just sit out there for hours listening to the ocean. This is kind of the picture I see happening right here. I can see Jesus saying, come hang out with the Good Shepherd. I'll lead you beside the still waters. I will bring peace and calm to your soul. I will bring peace and calm to your spirit. See, he provides contentment. The Good Shepherd provides restoration. Verse 3 says, he provides it. Look what it says. He provides restoration. It says, he restores my soul. Say it again. He restores my soul. Anyone ever had your soul crushed? Anyone ever been crushed in here today? Have you ever gone through maybe a difficult divorce and you just felt crushed? Have you ever gone through a difficult rejection in your life, felt crushed? Have you ever felt betrayed, felt crushed? Have you ever had someone promise you something, they'd come through, and you feel crushed? Man, our spirits, yeah, if you're not alive, if you haven't ever been crushed, if you've never had your soul, your spirit crushed, you're not real today. We've all been through that. We've all had seasons of feeling crushed. But this is the great news about our Good Shepherd. The relationship we have with the Shepherd is simply this. If I stay near the Shepherd, he restores my soul. See, he's the God of restoration. He's the God of restoration. He says it very clearly. I will restore back to you what the enemy has stolen from you. See, as Christians, this is the promise we have. This is what we have. He says anything the enemy comes to take away from you, if we stay close to the Shepherd, we don't lose hope. He restores our soul. He builds us back up and he restores back to us. Come on. Ask Job about restoration. Ask Job about losing it all and getting restored back over 100-fold. God will restore. Our Good Shepherd will restore. He says, I've been cut down, abandoned, but not forsaken. Cut down, but not destroyed. Come on, he is the Good Shepherd. He is the Good Shepherd who restores our soul. Today, some of you need your soul restored. You've allowed your heart to be hardened. You've allowed your soul to be crushed. And you're walking around with a hard heart. And today, the Good Shepherd says, come on. Come sit with me. Let me breathe back into you. Let me restore your heart. Let me restore your soul. This is what happens when we draw near the Good Shepherd. He restores my soul. Only he can bring that. He restores back to me. He's a God of restoration. And number 3, he's the Good Shepherd provides guidance. He provides guidance. It says he will, what? Leads me. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The good shepherd provides our guidance. Some of you are like, man, I don't know what step to make next. I don't know what choice to make next. I don't know where to go next. I really need God's direction. That's right. You do. Draw near to the good shepherd. Hang out with him. Draw near to him. Stay with him. Allow him to speak to you and you to hear his voice. Because if you do, he will lead you. He will lead you. He won't abandon you. He will not forsake you. He will lead you. And many times he'll carry you. And if he has to, he will drag you. But the good shepherd is not going to leave you. He will lead you. He will lead you where we need to go. He leads us. This is the promise we have. He leads me into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He does it for his glory. You know, it's an incredible story when you really think about it. When you study out sheep herders and sheep, the flock of sheep, if you're in a country where they have a lot of sheep herders and a lot of sheep especially, it's not uncommon to go on a hillside somewhere where there's green pastures and there's water. And you'll see many herds at one time. They'll all bring the flocks down there together and let them eat and water together. And it's not uncommon to have 10 to 15 sheep herders in one spot. And in those sheep herds, many of them have anywhere from 500 to 1,000, some even many as 1,500 sheep with them in the herd. So you do the numbers there. Can you imagine being a place where 10,000 sheep are all there eating and watering at the same time? And really what it becomes is these sheep herders are like a bunch of old women. They get around and want to talk all day long. I'm just playing, ladies. Forgive me. Come on. They get there and they get around and start talking and they're just, you know, hey, talking about this and that and having a good time. And the day goes by and the sheep are all out there. Thousands and thousands of sheep are intermingling, going this way, mixing together. I mean, you were looking at them, you can't tell whose sheep is where. I mean, you can't tell this guy's sheep, where's it at? I don't know. It's out there somewhere. They're all a mess. It's everywhere. I'm going to go crazy. Come, get back over here. No, you know. I've lost count. They're all there. But they don't worry about it. Because you know what happens when it's time to go home? The guy who's got the longest journey, hey, guys, I better start heading back home. It's getting kind of late. And he'll give out a call that he's trained his sheep to hear. Whatever it is. Here's sheepy. And they're trained to hear his voice. And all of a sudden, even though there's thousands of sheep out there, the ones that hear the voice of the shepherd, their shepherd, will line up in single file and start following him home. And he'll walk out and all of a sudden, there'll be 1,000 sheep come out of that 10,000 pack and follow him home. And the next one, hey, it's about time for me to go, guys. Let's go home. And they get in line and follow right out. It's amazing. Amazing. And they were doing an interview and asking these guys, they said, do you ever just lose one sheep? You know, it's all mixed up. Did they ever follow the wrong sheep home? And they said, no, we never lose one sheep because they're all trained to follow the voice of their shepherd. You see, sheep don't follow other sheep. Sheep follow the good shepherd. See, some of you have gotten off track because you've been following way too many sheep in your life. This sheep disappointed me. This sheep did that. No, we got to get our eyes on the good shepherd. God, you're the only one perfect. God, you're the one who's going to lead. And I got to hear your voice. God, I got to be led by you. You see, this is what we're called to do, to be led by the good shepherd. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's about to preach this morning. You better get ready. We're going to get started. We're about to cut loose this morning. I hope you're ready. Sheep follow the shepherd. They don't follow the other sheep. Number two, the shepherd protects. The shepherd protects. Look what verse 4 says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, many of you here, you grew up with a vision of the good shepherd as he's got a rod, he's got a staff, and he's ready to hit me in the head if I mess up. God's mad at me. He's ready to bonk me in the head because I messed up and I made this mistake or I did this and I was a bonehead and I made this decision. And man, we see God ready to hit us with that staff, but that's the wrong picture of the good shepherd. He says, see, the staff and the rod for the shepherd were never meant to beat the sheep. They're only there to protect them against the wolves. The rod and the staff are there to fight off the wolves. Maybe a sheep gets too close to the edge and he reaches out and he kind of nudges them back in. But it's there to lead the sheep, but mainly it's there to fight off the wolves. And see, it brings comfort to me knowing that as I draw close to the shepherd, he's protecting me. Your rod and your staff, as I get closer to the shepherd, he's fighting off my enemies. He's fighting off the haters. He's fighting off those that are coming against me. I get close to the shepherd. I get close to the shepherd and let him fight them off. See, look at this statement. The wolves, they're not afraid of the sheep. Wolves are not afraid of the sheep. They are afraid of the shepherd. Wolves are not afraid of the sheep. They're afraid of the shepherd. That's why we stay close. See, look at this next statement. The wolves never attack the sheep in the middle of the pack. They attack the ones on the fringe by themselves. See, that's what happens. That's why it's important, as we're the body of Christ, we're called his flock. He is the great shepherd. We're the sheep of his flock. When you allow yourself to get out there on the edge, you put yourself in danger. You put yourself as a target by the enemy. That's why if I was you, I would jump right in the middle. I'm like, if they're going to eat anybody, they can eat Coy, but they ain't going to eat me. I'm getting in the very middle. I'm jumping in the middle of the flock. I ain't taking a chance. I'm hanging out next to the shepherd with the staff. That's where I'm hanging out. I'm not going to hang out on the fringe. I mean, how many of you ever seen those shows, you know, the National Geographic or Animal Channel, and the narrator's talking? As the baby sheep begins to sway out, the wolf is watching his prey, preying behind. You know, the wolf peeks out. Oh, finally one. Strays out from the pack. Oh, and the wolf goes on, they tackle him. You know, it's what happens when we get out there on the fringe by ourselves. We make ourselves an easy target. That's why over the years I've constantly continued to encourage you. I know you need breaks and there's seasons when you got to restore your soul and you get to go out and vacation and get a rest. And I'm all for that. Get that. Restore. But make sure you don't go so long that you get disconnected from the pack. Because when you get disconnected from the pack, then you become vulnerable to attacks. Then you're out there as an easy prey, and the enemy sees that. He's waiting for you to disconnect yourself from the body of Christ so that he can jump on you, discourage you, get your faith low, and attack you while you're by yourself. Jump right back into the middle of the pack. Jump right back in close to the shepherd. Say, I'm hanging out in the middle of the flock. I'm hanging out next to the shepherd. I'm not going to take any chances out there on the fringe. I'm jumping all in. I'm going all in. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching better. You're saying amen. So he must be preaching to you. See, the wolf waits for us to isolate ourselves. Then he comes on attack. And number three, see, the good shepherd, he blesses us in battle. This is an amazing thing. That, yeah, we're going to have battles, but we're blessed in our battles. We're blessed in our battles when you're with the good shepherd. He prepares a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. See, I can sit at the table in the presence of my enemies. Come here, Jeff. Give me a hand here this morning. I mean, I want you to see the picture here that God's painting for you and I. That in the middle of our battles, he says, come and sit down, son. Pull up a chair at the table. And he sets the table before us. And even though you have enemies that are lurking, wolves that are waiting to attack, they're coming against you. They're coming against you, ready to attack you. When you hang out with the shepherd, this is what happens. You can sit down at the table in peace. Sit down without any fear. Why? They're out there watching. Why? Because he has prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God sets a table before us when you hang out with the good shepherd and you're there close. He sets a table before you in the presence of your enemies. It says that he anoints my head with oil. It means his Holy Spirit's being poured out upon me. The favor of the Lord can be upon me in the presence of my enemies, in preparing a table before me in the presence. Why? Because I'm hanging out with a good shepherd. This is the presence I want you to see here. Why? How can I do that? Just imagine that he's got Gabriel, the angel, Gabriel standing behind you, 30 foot tall, with the swords drawn. And you're sitting there feasting with the good shepherd, and Gabriel standing behind you. He has placed his angels in protection over you in the spirit realm. You can sit in peace in the presence of your enemies because God sets us there. Then he says, my cup runs over. And so we have a cup. Jeff, hold your cup there. There's no water in here, so don't worry. It's not going to get on you, okay? But see the picture here. He says that as he pours over to me, the oil all over me, he pours my cup into my cup. You see, when I pour to my kids, I'm limited on resources. After so long, I'm like, hey, you've drained me this week. Ask me next week. Or wait till next payday. Or give me a little bit of time. I'm out, okay? I've given you all I've got to give. Any parents ever feel that way? You relate, okay? Well, I want you to see, this is the way we think and the way we operate. But God doesn't operate that way. See, the good shepherd, I don't lack. And it says that when he fills my cup, he doesn't just fill it, but it runs over. It's pouring into my lap. He's rolling his favor into my lap. He's pouring his anointing, his oil in my lap. He's pouring his goodness in my lap. He's pouring his mercy in my lap. He's pouring his presence in the presence of my enemies. This is what God does to you and I. See, when I hang out with the good shepherd, he prepares that table. He pours into my cup, and he anoints my head with oil. Give me a hand, Jeff, down here as well. And today we see the second part of this. Jeff, come right here. Corey, give me a hand right in the middle. You guys come down the very front right here. I can sit at his table. He anoints my head with oil, but he also blesses me all the days of my life. He blesses me all the days of my life. Look what it says. Surely goodness, what? Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, he blesses me all the days of my life. So let's say, Corey, your name now is goodness. Jeff, your name is mercy. What's his name? Goodness. And? Mercy. One more time. Goodness. And? Mercy. So that means this. It says that he will follow me all the days of my life. That means no matter where I go, who's behind me? Who's behind me? Goodness and mercy. So as I'm walking down life, I'm going through something. Oh, I'm going through a difficult season. Man, I'm going through a bitter moment. I'm going through a time of rejection. I'm going through a time of hard divorce. Is it all right? It's all right. Because look behind me. Who's behind me? Who's behind me? I'm going through a tough time. I got laid off of work. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to make it. You don't want to know why? Who's behind me? I'm going through a tough season in my life. I don't understand. I didn't win that job. I wanted that bid. And I needed that resource, but it's okay. What's going on? Who's behind me? I'm going through a struggle in my life. I'm trying to get back on my feet, and I don't know if I'm going to make it, but as I start climbing, I heal. What happens? I'm wanting to fall, but who's behind me? Pushing me. Goodness and mercy are behind me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Stand on your feet this morning. Give God a praise. Come on. Give a praise. God, we love you. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. See, this is why I hang out with the Good Shepherd. This is why I got to know who God is in my life. I got to know who Jesus really is. He is the Good Shepherd. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. He protects me. He sustains me. He brings goodness and mercy with me as long as I stay connected to Him, as long as I draw near to Him. This morning, how many say, Pastor, I needed to hear that word? Anybody here? That's right there for you. Okay. All right. Making sure. Our worship team is going to lead us with a song about God's goodness. Today, I want you to say, God, man, I really want to understand about being a sheep. God, I really want to understand about this process of being a part of the flock. God, help me to understand that you are the good shepherd. There's protection with you. You sustain me. Goodness and mercy. You anoint my head, my cup runs over. You feed my spirit, you restore my soul. I mean, it's a wonderful revelation when you understand what the good shepherd really does in our lives. It changes the way now you relate to Jesus. Yes, he's carpenter. He understands my heartaches, but he also is a good shepherd who restores, who protects, who anoints through every difficult season. We're going to close this song today. I want you just to say, God, I love you. God, I want to draw close to the shepherd. Today, if you're here, you want to join me in the front, I welcome you. Step out of your seat. Say, God, I'm drawing close to the shepherd today. We're going to sing about his love, about his goodness. Let's just make it a personal prayer today. God, I'm drawing close to the shepherd, walking in the goodness of God. Let's sing it.
I lift my eyes to see your face. I know my help is in your name. And everything held by hands of mercy. And I will run and not grow weary. And I will rise in God my strength. My heart will trust, for all my hope is Christ alone. Oh, now my soul sees your love and knows no end. Your love and knows no end. Your love and knows no end.
Raise your hands. I want to pray for you today. Go on, raise your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you today that we're getting revelation of the Good Shepherd in our life. So right now, Father, I pray and release that, God, you're restoring souls here today. You're restoring souls that have been crushed. You're restoring fellowship with the Father. You're restoring relationship with the Good Shepherd today. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, just say, Father, I accept you now as Lord and Savior of my life. Father, I accept you now. I surrender my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. I give my life for you. And for those of you who are here, you've already accepted Jesus, but you say, you know what? I need to flow under him as the Good Shepherd. Far too long, I've just been letting him be my Savior and not really following him as the Good Shepherd. And today, I just pray to Father, you're drawing us closer to you, that we can walk with the Good Shepherd. We stay connected with the flock. And God, we will stay connected to you. You're restoring our soul. You're feeding our spirit. You're bringing peace to our life. You're setting the table in the presence of our enemies. God, you're anointing our head with oil. And surely goodness and mercy are going to follow us. I declare, surely goodness and mercy are going to follow us. One more time, I declare, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And we will dwell. As for me and my house, we will dwell. As for me and my house, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Come on, put your hands together. Bless the Lord. Guys, turn to somebody, give them a hug or give them a high five and say, man, God's so good. It's good to be with you today. Listen, please, please be careful. Enjoy your 4th of July. Don't blow anybody up or burn anybody's house down, okay? Have a great 4th of July. We love you. God bless you.